Madam Chair, may I ask a follow-up, please?
Then Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Yes, Senator Rosenwald.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Karen, for that explanation. I'm assuming, as I think Representative Ober was, that these funds that you're transferring had been otherwise appropriated. What impact will this transfer have on the lapse or on the required back of the budget cut for the department?
So I would say this transfer doesn't have an impact on what I'm projecting. What has an impact is the current COVID epidemic.
Further questions?
There are no other questions showing.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, do we have a motion on this item?
I move the item.
Senator D'Alessandro moves the item. And do we have a second?
Second, Hennessy.
Thank you. And Representative Hennessy seconds. And I will ask Representative Ford to call the roll. Call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leachman.
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober?
Yes.
Representative Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
And Senator Morse?
Yes.
Senator Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Thank you, Representative Wallner. The vote is 10 yeses, 0 noes. Motion passes.
The motion passes. Thank you, Representative Ford. And now we'll move on to our consent item under our tab 6. And we have several items there. Would we like to have, why don't people tell me which ones they would like to have come off? And then we'll vote on the remaining ones as a block, and then we'll discuss the ones that come off. So which items would people like to have come off, and we'll have individual discussions on them.
Ma'am, I'm showing Senator Kahn has his hand raised.
Yes, Senator Kahn. Senator Kahn, do you have an item to come off?
Yes, I'm sorry. Item 20-058, professional licensure and certification.
Okay, yes, we'll take that one off. I have that one.
Ma'am, I'm also showing Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Yes, Senator Rosenwald. Senator Rosenwald?
Sorry, I was muted. I would like to remove item 063 and 066. Thank you.
So that's 063 and 066 have both come off. Other items to come off the consent calendar? Okay, hearing no other items to come off, let's vote. First on the remainder items that are on the consent calendar, and then we'll go to the items that came off individually. Do I have a motion?
Move the consent calendar as stated.
Second.
Senator D'Alessandro moves the consent calendar. And do I have a second?
Ober seconds.
Thank you. Representative Ober seconds. Thank you. And I will ask Representative Ford to call the roll.
Thank you. Representative Leachman?
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober?
Yes.
Representative Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Thank you.
Senator Morse.
Oh, is he gone?
No.
I did call.
No, you didn't.
Did I miss Senator Morse?
Yes.
Thank you. Senator Morse?
Votes yes.
Representative Wallner?
Yes.
The vote is 10-0.
Thank you. The motion passes 10-0. And now we'll go to item 20-058, Office of Professional Licensure and Certification. And I believe Senator Kahn asked us to come off the consent calendar. And would you like to have someone come up to answer some questions?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes. Is there someone available from professional licensure?
Yes, ma'am. I've unmuted Lindsay Courtney's line.
Thank you. Senator Kahn, do you have questions?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think just a general explanation of how this fits in with, one, the 2021 budget, but also other items that may be coming before the committee. We've had some previous that had similar characteristics of enhancements. And are there more yet to come? And then there's a follow-up question after that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. This is Lindsay Courtney, Interim Executive Director. I think as to the latter question, this is the only item related to an enhancement of the positions. And as to the former question, how it fits into the 2021 budget, again, this was a payroll authorization that was approved by GNC, I think dating back to October of 2018. And so the question before you is really whether we can accept and expend beyond appropriated amounts to meet our existing payroll obligations, which includes the pharmacy enhancement, about 68%. It's a 68% enhancement. Not sure if that answers your question, Senator.
Do you have further questions, Senator Kahn?
Yes. I think the follow-up then is projection on meeting the budget with fees. The department anticipates being at the end of the year. We've got a projection that seems pretty general at the back of this presentation with $500,000 projected over budget net of the actions having been taken by previously on enhancement or salary items leads to a balance of $231,000 at the end of the year. But the presentation looks the figures are probably better known by the department at this point in the fiscal year. So it's that I'd like Ms. Courtney to respond to. Where do they think they're going to end up relative to the dollars that were anticipated revenue over budget, over to be recovered? And what kind of fund balance is she anticipating because of revenue over budget?
Thank you, Senator. That's helpful. I think what you have before you is specific to the Health Division's accounting unit, but I think the question is geared more toward where is the office at as a whole as it relates to the 2021 budget. So obviously, OPLC is a self-funded agency. We have a lapse target of $3.5 million for this year and for fiscal year 21. For the fiscal year 19, we lapsed $3.3 million. That was based on about $2.8 million in excess revenue, approximately $550,000 in excess appropriations. So I believe my assumption is that our lapse target of 3.5 for this year and for next year was based on our FY19 lapse. However, our anticipated revenue for FY20 is projected to be about $1 million less than FY19, and this is just based on renewal schedules. Certain professions renew biennially, as you know. Certain professions renew annually. We even have some that renew every 3 years. And so our revenue stream is not consistent. So at the start of FY20, OPLC was projecting a dedicated fund at the end of this fiscal year to be $2.8 million, and that's assuming everything else remains the same from FY19. Obviously, expenses, as you noted, Senator, have changed throughout FY20. We did, under the prior executive director, receive permission to accept and expend for two additional DOIT positions that would total $61,000 for the remainder of this year. Obviously, with the hiring freeze, that has not been filled, but I will, assume, my numbers that I'll provide to you will assume that that has been satisfied. We also came before the committee to accept and expend for additional part-time salaries that were not accounted for in OPLC's budget, and that was approved. And I think for FY20, that will account for $80,000. And we also had an expense related to the statutory change for pharmacists, moving from annual renewal to biennial renewals. That resulted in a projected decrease in revenue of about $350,000. So since February, I can only speak to the actions that I've taken, but I believe appropriately managed the funding. Our excess appropriations for FY20 are projected to be $1.1 million, which obviously is substantially more than FY19. As of right now, if the committee were to approve this request, we are only projecting a lapse of $2.3 million, or actually closer to $2.4 million. If the committee were to decline to approve the request, we would still be projecting a lapse of about $2.55 million, which is still approximately $1 million less than our anticipated lapse. And again, the basis for that difference is really the difference in renewal fee schedule. I think that may answer your question, Senator, but let me know if that.
Further questions, Senator Kahn?
Yes. Madam Chair, I think it answers the question. It leaves a question about how we fail to recognize that properly in the budget. I don't think just the pharmacy license change makes up for that difference. So I understand it, and I'm sure LBA will track that going forward as something that we will be under what was anticipated.
Thank you, Senator Kahn. Do we have a motion on this item?
Ma'am, there's a couple more questions.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. Representative Leishman has his hand raised.
Okay. Representative Leishman.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Lindsay did a great job. My question was on the lapse, so I'm all set. Thanks.
Okay. Senator Rosenwald. Senator Rosenwald has her hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know we had a bill in ED&A. That addressed a number of questions about OPLC, and I'd like to follow up on Senator Kahn's question. When the governor proposed this budget in February, it did change the pharmacy licensing to biennial renewals, and as I recall, that had an impact of about $700,000 a year that would lapse to the general fund, and I know we've planned to spend that. So my question really is, why didn't the agency bring this up during the budget discussions in the spring last year?
Thank you, Senator. Just one point of clarification. The pharmacy change to biennial, I believe, was in a different statute. It wasn't in HB4, but But you're right, it was proceeding through the legislature at time of the budget talks. I obviously can't speak to the budget conversation since I only started at OPLC in September and assumed the role of interim executive director this February. But I think your point is well made. That should have been brought up during budget discussions. I think we're all aware that there was some leadership challenges in the agency that I hope have been rectified, at least under my watch, I hope. And this absolutely should have been brought up during budget discussions.
Further questions? Hearing no further questions. Do we have a motion?
Move the item, Madam Chair.
Representative Leishman moves the item.
I second it.
And Senator D'Alessandro seconds. Further discussion on this item? Hearing no further discussion, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober?
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
No.
Senator Morse?
Yes.
Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The vote is 9 yes, 1 no.
Motion passes. The vote's 9 to 1. Thank you. And well, let's move on to item number 20-063. This is Department of Health and Human Services. And do we have questions of the department? Are there questions for the department on this one?
Ma'am, Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Yes. Senator Rosenwald, would you like someone to come up from the department?
Yes, please, Madam Chair. I have two questions.
Okay. I guess if Ms. Rounds could come back online.
I'm here.
Great.
Thank you.
Senator Rosenwald has a question.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ms. Rounds. Could you tell us, please, how many net additional staff have been added to DCYF since July?
Hi, Senator Rosenwald. It's Lori Chibinet. I'm here with Karen.
Hi, Commissioner.
Hi. Unfortunately, we don't have those numbers today. Most of our department is either working at the Emergency Operations Center, as Karen and I are, or working remotely. So we're happy to try to gather that information and give you an update after this meeting.
That would be helpful. I think we had similar questions in February. But my second question is more about the public service announcements to improve the community's perception of DCYF. Has the department picked an advertising agency yet to do this advertising campaign?
You're speaking of the what's discussed within this fiscal item?
Correct.
I don't think we have yet. I think that would need to go through the contracting process.
Thank you.
Further questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion on this item?
I would move the item.
Senator D'Alessandro moves.
Senator Kahn, second.
And Senator Kahn, second. And any discussion of the item? Hearing no discussion, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leachman?
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober?
No.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
No.
Senator Morris?
Yes.
And Representative Wallner?
Yes.
The vote is 8 yeses, 2 noes.
The motion passes 8-2. And now let's move on to item 20-066. And do we have questions on this item, or would we like someone from the department to come up?
Ma'am, Representative Ober has her hand raised.
Yes. Representative Ober, would you like someone to come up from the department to answer questions?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As before, we had questions on this, and I understand the agency is very backed up with COVID and what's going on with the state, but we got almost no responses back as to how they were going to do this. This is 100% federal funds. While it does say that general funds will not be requested to support program expenditures, the details of this are very low. And it says through June 30th, 2020, which is 10 weeks away, it's asking for a large amount of money, and I'd like to know how they can spend this between now and June 30th, especially given, as the commissioner just said, they are all working on the COVID.
Thank you, Representative Ober. I think, is Karen Round available?
I am. So these funds are actually one of the earlier distributions of COVID-related funds and are for home delivery of meals. So that is how the funds will be used. I don't know if they will all be used between now and June 30th, and if they are not, then they will not be expended. We are going to allocate them proportionally based on how they were budgeted in their current contract. Oh, and go.
Follow up.
Hold on, the commissioner would like to add to that. I'm sorry.
I would like to just add, as we've communicated several times in the press, people over the age of 60 and people with underlying medical conditions are the most at risk for having negative outcomes to COVID. So we have pushed and messaged very, very strongly that these folks need to stay home. Because of that, the ability to provide more meals through home delivery ultimately keeps people safe. So it was something very early on that both the federal government and our own department identified as something that needed additional funding. So we worked and moved very expeditiously to get our Meals on Wheels programs and our congregate housing programs ramped up so that we could limit the amount of time that our seniors need to leave the house.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Ober.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a comment. Communicating to the legislature through the press is not horrendously effective, but I understand you do need to communicate with the public. However, it would be nice to hear, if you knew this was coming and you've been communicating, what steps have already been taken so we can expend this money by June 30th. And I'm sorry if Ms. Rounds thought she said that, but it wasn't very clear. And if you could try again, I'd appreciate it.
I guess what we need to be clear about is that our current population that is currently getting Meals on Wheels and probably more, right, as we increase those populations, as we tell more people to stay at home, our current contracts and our current service providers that provide Meals on Wheels and congregate meals have ramped up the amount of meals and the amount of people that we're delivering to limit the amount of people going, elderly people and people with underlying conditions going out. So this money is going to support those additional meals, those additional staff and drivers and all the expenses that go along with it to keep people in their homes. If we're not able to expend all of this money, then it would not be drawn down.
Further questions?
Could I try it one other way?
Yes,
you
may.
It was my understanding, Ms. Rounds, that the contracts we had provided to Meals on Wheels had a finite fixed amount at the end. You may spend up to this. So could you explain how we're going to use those same contracts? What's the process to extend that so we can expend beyond the contracted amount now that we have the money? I'm concerned we won't get this money out to our communities by June 30th because this has such a close cutoff date.
Thank you for clarifying your question, Representative Ober. Now I completely understand what you're asking. Yes, so we will be amending those contracts. We were actually already in the process of amending the contracts. As a few of you who are on Finance Division 3 may remember, there were some additional funds identified while a bill was being heard for these types of services. So we were already in process of amending those. We are actually working with the Governor's Office and the Department of Administrative Services to, if this item was approved today, to look at actually getting that money out the door before we fully executed the contract if there was agreement to do that, because this is, as the Commissioner was speaking to, this is a really important thing that needs to happen, and those funds do need to get out as quickly as possible. But we are in process, and I would expect that contract would be on the next GNC agenda at the very latest.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Rounds. Are there further questions on this item?
Yes, a couple. Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Senator Rosenwald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My understanding of the Meals on Wheels program is that about $10 million was appropriated in the budget, but the department contracted for $9.2 million. So this $800,000, am I correct that it's not really an increase in the Meals on Wheels? It's using some federal stimulus funds to backfill the budget?
No, this would actually be an increase. Like I mentioned before, we were already doing a contract amendment to bring up that $9.2 million. So this will then be in addition to that. It won't supplant it.
Could I follow up, please?
Yes, please.
So the $800,000 that the department hadn't originally contracted for was still unlapsed and available to spend, or would it be lapsing?
I don't remember the exact amount that we had talked about contracting. I know in front of the committee I had testified to an amount, and I apologize, I can't remember that off the top of my head, but that amount is still moving forward, and as well as this new grant.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Ma'am, Representative Hennessy has her hand raised.
Yes, Representative Hennessy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Rounds answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions on this item or further discussion?
Senator D'Alessandro has his hand raised.
Yes, Senator D'Alessandro.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I want to make it clear to my colleagues that this is money that has come to us under the process that we have always used. It's covert virus money, comes to the department, department brings it to fiscal, fiscal handles it, and moves it forward. We're doing this efficiently and effectively and doing something that needs to be done. And that's a process that we've used. I want to emphasize that because it's really what we're here for today and what the fiscal committee was intended to do. And this is a perfect example of how the process takes place. And I want to emphasize that to my colleagues. And the question is, getting the money out as quickly as possible to address a very specific need that was caused by the virus, that was keeping people at home so that they could be safe and at the same time get their meals. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Further questions or discussion of this item? Senator D'Alessandro moved the item. Do we have a second?
Second,
Hennessy.
Second.
Representative Hennessy, second. Senator Rosenwald, Senator D'Alessandro moved. And I'm going to, is there further discussion at this time?
Representative Ober has her hand raised.
Yes, Representative Ober.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think that relating to my colleague's comments about this, what fiscal is supposed to do, I think that was the concern of all of us. Is the process started so this money can actually get out in the next 10 weeks? Because I believe we all know probably better than anybody else how long it takes to get new contracts out. But the fact they can adjust them and start getting that money out, as Ms. Round said, is very good news. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ober, and I certainly agree with that sentiment. Further discussion of this item? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leishman?
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober?
Absolutely.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
Senator Morse?
Yes.
And Representative Wallner?
Yes.
The vote is 10-0.
The item passes 10-0. Thank you, Representative Ford. And our next, under tab 7, is our next item is 20-055. It is a Department of Safety item. Would anybody like to have the Department of Safety speak to this? Seeing no questions, do we have a motion on this item?
I would move the item.
Senator D'Alessandro moves.
Senator Susie seconds.
Senator Susie seconds. Discussion of the item? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leishman?
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober?
Yes.
Representative Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
Senator Morse?
Yes.
And Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Thank you. The vote is 10-0.
Vote is 10, item passes, and the vote is 10-0. Going on now to tab 8, and this is item 20-059. It's the Office of the Consumer Advocate. Does anyone want to have the Consumer Advocate speak to this?
I move the question.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Representative Hennessy.
Oh, Representative Hennessy moves the item. Do we have a second?
Second.
Senator D'Alessandro, was that you?
Yes.
Okay. And discussion of the item? Hearing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leachman?
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober?
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susi?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
Senator Morris?
Yes.
And Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Thank you. The vote is 10 yeses, 0 noes.
The motion passes 10 to 0. Thank you, Representative Ford. And moving on to our next item is 20-057. It's the Judicial Council. And I know there is possibly some new information on this. And are there questions?
Ma'am, Representative Ober has her hand raised.
Yes, Representative Ober. And would you like someone from the Judicial Council to come up to answer questions?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I had a conversation with Director Blodgett of the Judicial Council. While she currently has $28,000 in outstanding invoices, she and I were both aware that the courts are currently closed, and actually families that had a court hearing coming up in April or May got a notification that they were extended. Those court hearings would stay into effect. So there's actually less work going on. And usually Director Blodgett is very good about going back, looking at historical data, telling, excuse me, I have fever, telling us about what has happened in that month or that period in history. But she doesn't have any history of when the courts have just been closed. So when it is appropriate, I would like to amend this motion to give her $150,000 now with the understanding that should the courts open soon, which we know isn't going to be until sometime at least in May, but if you listen to Dr. Chan yesterday, he was saying we weren't even going to get the peak until then. She can always come back to us. We only have 10 weeks until the end of the fiscal year. Thank you.
It's over. Other discussion of this item? Question of Ms. Blodgett? Okay, so Representative Ober motion that we reduce the appropriation from $250,000 to $150,000. Does she have a second?
I'll second the Ober motion, Madam Chair.
Ober moved and Leachman second. So is there discussion of that motion?
Ma'am, Senator Kahn has his hand raised.
Yes, Senator Kahn.
I was going to second the motion. And thank you for recognizing me. But no further comments.
Senator Susi also has her hand raised.
Yes, Senator Susi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's actually a question of you. If we were to reduce the amount, how quickly do you intend to have the committee meet again in case there are more funds needed?
Actually, I'm going to call already. I'm planning on calling a special meeting for April 20th, which is not our usual date. It's a Monday. I'm going to call a special meeting, and when we get to the end of the agenda, I'll talk about a little bit about that meeting and its purpose. So we will be back in on April 20th, and then we will have our regularly scheduled meeting on May 8th.
So if I may follow up, Madam Chair, that would certainly give the Council the opportunity to come forward should they need additional funds then.
Yes, I would think so.
Thank you.
Ma'am, Sarah Blodgett has her hand raised.
Yes, Ms. Blodgett, thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for taking up this item. I just wanted to say that I did speak with Representative Ober we looked at past history for this cost, especially the termination costs, which have increased significantly over the past couple of years, as you all know. But with the uncertainty about the impact of COVID-19 on our expenditures, we certainly feel that $150,000 right now will get us through the near future, and we would be happy if we need to come back and make an additional request before the end of the fiscal year.
Thank you, Ms. Blodgett. Are there other questions of Ms. Blodgett while she's here? Hearing none, our first vote will be on Representative Ober's motion to amend the item. Representative Ober moved and Representative Leishman seconded the amendment. Questions about the amendment or discussion, further discussion of it? Hearing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leishman?
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober? Representative Ober?
Sorry, I had muted my phone. Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn? Senator
yes.
Rosenwald?
Yes.
Senator Morris?
Yes.
Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The vote on the amendment is 10 yes, 0 no's.
And now I need a motion on the amended version of the item.
So moved.
Senator Susie moves.
Senator D'Alessandro
Senator,
seconds.
Okay. Senator Susie moves and Senator D'Alessandro seconds the amended item. And I will ask the, is there any discussion? None. Seeing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you. Just let me catch up 1 minute. I have Senator Susie approving the motion and Senator D'Alessandro seconding. Is that right, Madam Chair?
Yes, that's the way I am.
Thank you. Representative Leishman?
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Representative Ober?
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senator Susie?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
Senator Morse?
Yes.
And Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Thank you. The vote is 10 yeses, 0 noes.
Motion passes 10 to 0. And that is the end of our regular items, and we move now into any miscellaneous that might be out there. I know of none, so passing on to informational items. Are there informational items that members would like to discuss? There are. Alert me to those.
Ma'am, Senator Kahn has his hand raised.
Yes, Senator Kahn. Which item would you like to discuss?
Thank you, Madam Chair. 065, HHS information item.
Yes, okay, 065. Any further items that would...
Ma'am, Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Yes, Senator Rosenwald.
Yes, in addition to 065, I would like to ask some questions about 067.
And 067, we will have some discussion on that one. Further items that people would like to have discussion on? Okay, let's start with item 20065. And both of these items that are up for discussion are health and human service items. And I believe Senator Kahn asked for 065 for some discussion. So could we have someone from the department come up and answer Senator Kahn's questions? Thank you.
Senator Kahn.
Mr. and I are here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the department for taking these. So this is a pretty significant move of dollars, Commissioner's office, and coming from at least a couple of places where I'd like to understand how the dollars are available at this time, and are we anticipating backfill from federal money into these areas, and you know, the most concerning, I think, for me is the homelessness and housing shelter program. So if the department can explain that, why dollars are being transferred at this time, the other dollars as well, and it is for the $14 million that will be at the commissioner's disposal. Thank you.
This is Karen Rounds. So there are several questions there, and I think first I'll give a broad overview and then go into some of those answers, and then I think the commissioner might have some information to add. So obviously when the COVID crisis hit, it was somewhat unexpected, and we knew that we were going to need substantial funding to be able to support it in various ways, but as you've heard many times the governor speak to, a primary cost right now is acquiring personal protective equipment. So that has been something that we want to make sure that we have funds available to be able to acquire as needed. We do hope that the federal stimulus dollars will be able to backfill these dollars, and that this will not be a 100% general fund expenditures. And I would say that these are not funds that are at the commissioner's disposal. They are still funds that go through the normal process of DAS, Department of Administrative Services, approving them. Some of them are spent using contracts. And in addition to the federal stimulus dollars, we'll also be looking at what FEMA will be able to reimburse us for.
So this is the commissioner. So I just want to add in that, you know, right now, you know, our focus is maintaining our current operations to the best of our ability. You know, some of that is proving to be challenging. We have several department staff working from home. We've had lower caseloads for obvious reasons. We have our constituents are staying home, but then we've had this tremendous and need around the COVID crisis, both purchasing PPE, ramping up testing, being able to contract with providers to be able to provide services and testing. All of those things needed to happen immediately. And so trying to work through developing some of the programs that we were hoping to develop prior to COVID-19 is not something that we have the resources or the personnel to do right now.
And so,
yes, further questions, Senator Kahn?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me follow. That may be another question, but let me narrow in on that housing shelter. I know that there are, and I'm sure you're quite aware that the housing shelters have needed to open up auxiliary locations during the crisis, and that's great because keeping people separate, I'm sure, is a major part of the plan. How does that's what the $1.7 million reduction to housing and housing shelter homelessness just doesn't quite reconcile to that scenario. And I could you help us understand, is that anticipated with some federal backfill, or is there really an over budget of general funds there?
So I don't think you can really make a correlation between where we transferred funds from and what we're going to be or already are contracting for that's related to COVID. Those funds were funds that were identified that were available because of the continuing resolution, that contracts that were planned had to be delayed. So that's how those funds were identified.
So your question about homelessness and shelters, we've done a ton of work around those areas as it relates to COVID. So, for example, we need to set up, and we're in the process of setting up a quarantine shelter for those that are unsheltered. Those are unsheltered people that have been exposed to COVID or have mild symptoms and are COVID positive, and they need a safe place to quarantine or isolate so that they're not walking around the communities. And then also a decamp shelter, which is really just an auxiliary shelter that we're able to take some unsheltered people from the shelters around our state to create some social distancing so that we don't create a situation where we have COVID really go through a population because they're in an overcrowded shelter. So we're doing both of those, and we're working with all of our communities and our shelter providers to ramp up. Some areas have decided to, bring some services to some of the places that our unsheltered people tend to congregate. So we're doing a lot of things around that area as it relates to COVID.
May I follow, Madam Chair?
Yes, please do.
What will be the source of reimbursement to local communities for setting those up?
So the plan right now is to tap into several different funding sources. FEMA is one. CDC provided us with a grant early on, and then obviously the federal money that is coming our way. So we don't have guidance on all of those areas yet, but one of those funding areas will be used.
Thank you for that. And, Madam Chair, one more question?
Yes. Yes, Senator.
I heard in your suggestion for the application of the $14 million at the commissioner's office that some of those dollars are going to PPE equipment. Some of those will go to outside vendors and outside contracts for other services to be performed. Given that we've got a fiscal committee meetings set up, looks like every couple of weeks down the road, are those contracts that are, will they be coming back to fiscal committee? They exceed certain limits for further understanding. Thank you.
Contracts would typically go to governor and council, not to a fiscal committee.
Some of those, none of those would come to the fiscal committee? Right. Okay. If that's the chair's understanding, I'll take that answer. But thank you for addressing my questions, my concerns around these dollars. I do hope that we see those federal funds able to backfill for those local expenses. Thanks for your answers.
Further questions of the department around this item?
Ma'am, Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Yes, Senator Rosenwald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm very happy to hear the department express the hope that stimulus funds will be able to backfill these budget cuts. Like Senator Kahn, I share the concern about homeless services, and I know that the secure psych unit was something there was a lot of agreement on. I do have a specific question about the first part of this item, and that is the $4 million transfer out of rural health and primary care. What specific programs are you transferring $4 million out of? What's the impact?
It's the student loan repayment fund. And the impact is that we're maintaining the current contracts that existed prior to now.
Okay, thank you. And a more general question, sort of following up on Senator Kahn's, does the department have concerns that because this transfer and the next one haven't gone through the statutory requirement of being approved by fiscal, that they might not be, the contracts might not be valid in the end?
This is Commissioner Chivinet. I would defer to the Department of Justice to answer questions like that. We're taking our direction from the Department of Justice in regards to what we have the statutory authority or ability to do under the state of emergency.
Madam Chair, may I follow up on that, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there written guidance that you have from the Department of Justice on this?
I do not have written guidance, but the Department of Justice either sits with us or consults with us in the Emergency Operations Center daily.
Thank you.
Further discussion or questions around this item? Seeing none, we'll move on. This is an informational item. It came in under informational. So we do not vote on this item.
Ma'am, Senator Susie has her hand raised.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to take this opportunity, not related to the very specific detail of this item, but to thank the Commissioner and Ms. Rounds for participating with us today, but even more importantly for the work they are doing, along with their staff around the clock, in dealing with this crisis here in our state. So I didn't know if I'd have an opportunity otherwise, so I wanted to just take this moment to say thank you on behalf of all of us and people in the state, and we do appreciate everything that's happening.
Thank you, Senator Susan, and I know that all of the members of the fiscal committee share your sentiments and really are our greatest thanks to the department and all the work they're doing. We know how difficult this situation is. And we do have one more informational item that Senator Rosenwald has asked to have some discussion about, and that is 20067.
Yes, thank you. Just curious, what does it mean that this money is going to the commissioner's office? What is the plan for spending it?
So this is the this is Karen Rounds. The accounting unit that we've moved these funds to is the same as the other informational item. It's the accounting unit that actually houses all of the finance and contracting staff and our administrative expenses. So we created a class line within that accounting unit to ensure that we were spending all of the COVID-related expenditures other than the expenditures that are already related to the grant that we accepted at the last fiscal committee meeting out of one area and being able to track it in a very uniformed way. Further questions? Seeing no further questions, and we do not need to vote on this item, so unless there are further things.
Senator Kahn has his hand raised.
Hi, Senator Kahn, yes.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Commissioner, just wanting to get a little understanding about the demand on the New Hampshire hospital, the backlog. I think I've understood that during this period, the demand has not been as great. We've seen the backlog decrease, but those are sort of general statements, and maybe you've got something that's a little more enlightening than what I heard previously. Thank you. And again, I totally agree with the sentiments expressed by Senator Susie, but address that longstanding concern that we've had about backlog. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. So very early on in the COVID crisis, the department, really looked at what things that we could influence and change for the hospitals to make sure that they are at their peak performance if we have a surge or a run on our healthcare system due to very ill people in COVID. So we identified a couple of things, and one was making sure that we removed our New Hampshire Hospital wait list folks from the ER. So we created a plan with the help from our folks from Hampstead Hospital. We were able to expedite the transfer of the children's services down to Hampstead, which was in the works and had been planned for the end of March and early April. So what we did is we moved them very early in March, which emptied an entire unit, which we then created double occupancy on that unit, so increasing our adult capacity by 24 beds and even up to 36 beds, and we emptied the ER, all the ERs. So we wanted to make sure that those folks weren't sitting in the middle of a COVID crisis. So those people now, we've gotten to zero several times. We still fluctuate 1, 2, 3 people in the ER, and usually that's waiting for medical clearance. I don't think that we're going to be able to sustain it long term. The unit that they're on is set up for kids, not adults, but in this very unprecedented time, we felt it was in their best interest to be in New Hampshire Hospital rather than the ER. So we made those transfers, and we're ready to do additional if we need to make sure that the hospital is not contending with a high ER boarding list.
Further questions?
That if I just follow this, that sounds like a plan that we'd heard previously, and it's great to hear that it's working to fill needs as they arise. That's very promising. Chair, just back on this action or informational item, it does seem that these normally come to the committee as transfer items. Is this something that should be acted upon by the committee to just reinforce the actions of the department and provide a fiscal committee approval? And could we do that immediately, or do we think that information is sufficient? And but it does seem like an approval item.
Thank you, Senator Kahn. I'm actually going to ask Michael Kane, the Legislative Budget Assistant, to maybe weigh in on that for me at this point.
Sure. So not only is approval not needed because it is an action that has occurred under the governor's powers under the executive order, but because the governor has already exercised his power, there is nothing for the committee to act on. So an action could not be taken by the committee on this item. because the department has not submitted anything to the committee to act on, if that helps.
Thank you, Mr. Kane. That was helpful. So we have come to the end of our agenda for today.
Ma'am. I'm sorry. Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Okay. Senator Rosenwald, sorry.
Thank you very much. And this is a general question because we have Karen and the commissioner with us, and let me second the sentiments of Senator Susie. We know how hard you guys are driving yourselves. I read in the paper this morning that Lakes Region Hospital was granted $5.25 million from the $50 million emergency healthcare fund. And so I'm wondering if this was a loan or a grant, and whether other funds have been approved for other hospitals around the state. And also, finally, when and how will the department make this information about distributions from the fund available publicly?
Thank you, Senator. This is Karen. So the committee continues to work on distribution of those funds, and I'm actually serving on that committee with four other members from the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Revenue, and the Attorney General's Office. That first award has been made. It is a loan with an ability for it to be forgiven, but it is a low-interest loan. I would expect that additional awards will be made as soon as early next week and continue on for several weeks as the committee continues to review the applications. As was provided publicly, there were several hundred applications, so there is a lot of work that the committee is undertaking to do that.
Thank you. And the second part of my question, does the department have a plan for how the information will be released to the public as the grants or loans are made?
So that information will be released through the governor's office, as I believe in the executive order they are the final approval of those grants or loans.
Further discussion? Question?
Ma'am, Senator D'Alessandro has his hand raised.
Yes, Senator D'Alessandro.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I want to reinforce Senator Susie's comments about the work that's been done by everyone. Kudos to everyone. That New Hampshire has done a great job and under the most difficult of circumstances. So I think that's a wonderful thing and something that we can be proud of. With regard to these loans, that's a general fund appropriation, and we should be receiving information about who gets the loan because that's public money that's being given out, and there should be a record of that. I think that's an imperative. But I wanted to just make a statement, if I might, Madam Chair, about the value of the fiscal committee and the fact that the role that the fiscal committee plays is so important to the process. It's so important to receiving information, in this case, receiving federal funds, making sure that they're received and appropriated properly. And we have a significant role to play by statute. That's why the fiscal committee was created. Remember, I was in the legislature before they had a fiscal committee. So indeed it's been a wonderful improvement as we move forward. The item accepted for the meals is a perfect example of how the functionality works. The money comes in, accept, and spend. That's the way it should be done. I think it's the perfect example. It was done properly. We get the money out, and that's why we function. And you, in your initial statements, clearly stated the statutory responsibility stated the RSA, we will meet whenever necessary. And indeed, that's the key, whenever necessary, to make decisions that are important for the people of the state of New Hampshire. I couldn't agree with anything more. I thought your articulation was right on, right to the point, and makes the point that we're all in this together and we must cooperate with one another. We have a process in place. Let's use it and let's take advantage of it. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator D'Alessandro. I couldn't agree with you more as to the role of the Fiscal Committee. The Fiscal Committee has a very important role to monitor what happens with federal funds, general funds, the funds that are put into our state for expenditures for our citizens. And I think the Fiscal Committee is a very transparent operation. People understand what the Fiscal Committee does. The general public have some understanding of it. Certainly the agencies do. And I know that legislators understand how the Fiscal Committee works. So it is a good vehicle for bringing money into our state as this COVID-19 crisis continues to unfold. The next thing I'd like to talk a little bit about is the plans. I think Senator D'Alessandro did hit upon something I think is very important. The Fiscal Committee can meet anytime the Fiscal Committee wants to call a meeting. As chair, I will call emergency meetings anytime that it seems like there's items that need to come before us. So we are not set in just having monthly meetings. We can have more than one or two or three or four meetings a month. We can meet as often as is necessary. And I've actually set for us on April 20th, which is a little more than a week away, it's a Monday. On April 20th, we will meet, and I've asked the Legislative Budget Assistant to be able to be ready to brief us on the federal guidelines around the use of the $1.25 billion in coronavirus relief funds. So that'll be a briefing by the Legislative Budget Assistant around those funds. He will follow very closely what's happening. If we don't have all the guidance at that point, he will provide information to us, the most up-to-date information that he has. We will also use that meeting to entertain requests for the acceptance and expenditures of federal coronavirus response recovery and relief funds made available to the state at that time. So if there are additional funds that need to come into the state around coronavirus, we will accept those items and act on them that day. I would also like to add to that, we were just going to limit it to coronavirus items, but I do want to add to that the item from the Judicial Council, Ms. Blodgett, if she needs to come back, if she finds that she does need, if she finds more information, she needs to come back, that I would like to make that meeting available to her also. Then we would continue to have our regular scheduled meeting on May 8th, where any department, all departments, could bring forth items. But I do want to make it very clear that if we need to come back sooner, if we need additional meetings, I hope I speak for all the members of the Fiscal Committee in saying that we will be here and we will continue to take our role very seriously and do the business of the state. And at this point, I put the committee in recess, and we will come back on April 20th, 2020.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Stay well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys. You did great. Everybody was great. Thank you.
Thank you.